great to see you here. We have a song, which is the last hymn today, called...
Good morning. Welcome, and thank you for worshiping with us at Trinity United Church Summerside, whether in person, on live stream, podcast, or sermon by phone. Thank you to all those who assist in making this service available in its various forms. Our service today is under the leadership of Pastoral Care Team. The team includes Joyce Bridges, Elaine Burrows, Mary McPherson, Peggy Miles, Joyce Montgomery, and Reverend Elaine Palmer Harding. It's hard to believe that Reverend Rachel Campbell winds up her sabbatical tomorrow. Next Sunday, September 15th, is a celebration Sunday. We would love to have a large turnout to celebrate everyone's return to our church services and programs, as well as our newly renovated boardroom and new kitchen stove. Please plan to stay after the service for coffee and conversation, and of course cake, in the auditorium. This congregational event is sponsored and supported by several teams at Trinity. For emergency pastoral coverage during Reverend Rachel's sabbatical, today or tomorrow, Elaine, we'll keep our fingers crossed for you. Contact Reverend Elaine Palmer Harding, whose contact information is in the bulletin. We at Trinity extend best wishes to all those having a birthday or an anniversary this week. We would also extend wishes for safe travels for those traveling to universities, their new home away from home. This afternoon at 2 p.m. here in the sanctuary, please plan to attend the Dolly Parton Tribute Concert with Kelly Mooney, Keelan Wedge, and Christine Anderson. This is a fundraiser for the life and work of Trinity. Additional information is in the bulletin. Save the date, October 19th, 2024, for the hot turkey takeout dinner. Try saying that three times in a row. It is pickup or delivery. This is a fundraiser for the life and work of Trinity. Additional information is also in the bulletin. For more information on the life and work of Trinity and its work in the community, the bulletin or the September newsletter are available at the entrances and on the website, trinitysummerside.ca. We acknowledge that the land upon which we gather is unceded Mi'kmaq territory. Epiquet, Prince Edward Island, is covered by the historic treaties of peace and friendship. We pay our respects to the Indigenous Mi'kmaq people who have occupied this island for over 12,000 years, past, present, and future.
Welcome to the service today, being led by the Pastoral Care Team. This is creation time in the Pentecost cycle of the church year. Creation time, it runs for five Sundays, starting today until Thanksgiving Sunday. The color associated with creation time is orange, and we associate orange with creativity, fruitfulness, endurance, strength, sunrise and sunset, fall and harvest, the changing seasons, and the last burst of color before winter. Let us prepare ourselves for worship. We light the Christ candle. acknowledging that God in Christ is present with us right now in this very place, at this very moment in time, and will be with us forever. Amen. The call to worship is based on Psalm 125. Come as those who trust God's strength, divine strength as solid as a towering mountain.
You are inviting us to have a peak experience.
Well, to sum it up, God abides forever, surrounding us with bedrock faith. The Spirit whispers to our hearts, commanding us to labor in love.
So hear, O Lord, the word of God. Thus must us worship in truth and in deed.
Let us live our faith in word and in deed. Let us pray. Take us to the food bank, loving God. Take us to the hospital, loving God. Take us to the protest, loving God. Take us and show us a difference we can make. Stay with us in this worship service, loving God. We are blessed as we give, loving God. Let us share together the Lord's Prayer. Our Father,
who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil.
Amen.
Good morning. Good morning. My name is Peggy, and I am going to be giving the story for the Time for All Ages today. I'm not sure we have any children with us today. If we do, you're welcome to come on up to the front. And our story today is for little kids and big kids who are here and at home. So hopefully you'll all take something away from this message. So it was a big week for kids this week. They went back to school on Thursday and some on Friday. And you can imagine everything they had to put in their knapsack and take with them to school. Pencils and notebooks and clean shoes and another thing they might have taken with them is some crayons. And I have a big box of crayons here. Just set them here for now. And did you know this Saturday is actually National Coloring Day? So if there are any children or you have any children in your life, you can see me at the back of the church today, and I have a little something you can take home for them. And they can celebrate National Coloring Day. So this box of crayons is the theme of today's story. So in this box, there are different sizes and different colors of crayons, and some are nice and sharp, and some are dull. So there are lots of different kinds. And we can learn a lot from these crayons. And even though they may have differences, they fit very nicely in this box. And you could even say they're all good neighbors living in this box together. And they all have different gifts that they bring. So some are nice and sharp, and if you're doing a drawing, that really helps to outline the picture, the nice and sharp ones. And some are a little duller, but that's fine too, because we can use those to fill in the center very nicely. And some are, you know, kind of worn out, and they might be missing their wrappers even. But that's okay, too, because then we can melt them down and make crafts. And so, as you can see, all of the crayons work together. And I actually did make a little craft with all the crayons, or some of the crayons in the box. And so all these crayons help to contribute to this craft that I made. So it's nice that I had them all available to me and everything that they offered to help me make that craft. So this box of crayons is similar to the people in our church and in our neighborhoods and in our communities. And so just like crayons, people come in different shapes and sizes and colors, and some might even have names that sound different than yours. Some are young and some are old. And have you ever noticed people being treated differently because they didn't look or act like others? And maybe that's happened for kids in school or for yourself at the grocery store or somewhere else out in the community. So today I want to tell you a story from Jesus' brother James. And he wrote in the Bible that the followers of Jesus should not show favoritism. And favoritism means treating one person better than someone else. So that's something we want to avoid. And James explained that if you host a party, all kinds of different people might come to the party. So some people might come in fancy clothes and wearing gold jewelry, and other people might come with worn out clothes. And so let's say you give the best seat, the nicest, most comfortable chair to the person in fancy clothes, and you tell the person in the worn out clothes to sit on the floor. That would be showing favoritism, wouldn't it? And that's not right. So when we do that, we're communicating that some people are better than others, which the Bible says is not right. So God reminds us that we are all God's children, no matter how much money we have, what we look like, or if we have different abilities. So with that in mind, I invite us all to pray together. And if you want, you can close your eyes, and I'll just read the prayer. Dear God, please help us to love one another as you have loved every single one of us. Help us to be good neighbors to the people that live on our street, at our school, here at church, and around the world. Let us love our neighbors who don't have houses to live in. Guide us to be more aware of others and their needs. Help us not to judge and to instead appreciate all the special gifts that each person on earth brings in their own way, just like the crayons that live together in the box. Amen.
Good morning. Our first reading this morning is from James 2, verses 1 to 10 and 14 to 17. Warning against partiality. My brothers and sisters, do not claim the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ of glory while showing partiality. For if a person with gold rings and in fine clothes comes into your assembly, and if a poor person in dirty clothes also comes in, and if you take notice of the one wearing the fine clothes and say, "Have a seat here in a good place, please," while to the one who is poor you say, "Stand there," or "Sit by my footstool," have you not made distinctions among yourselves and become judges with evil thoughts? Listen. My beloved brothers and sisters, has not God chosen the poor in the world to be rich in faith and to be heirs of the kingdom that he has promised to those who love him? But you have dishonored the poor person. Is it not the rich who oppress you? Is it not they who drag you into the courts? Is it not they who blaspheme the excellent name that was invoked over you? If you really fulfill the royal law according to the scripture, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. You do well. But if you show partiality, you commit sin and are convicted by the law as transgressors. For whoever keeps the whole law but fails in one point has become accountable for all of it. Faith without works is dead. What good is it, my brothers and sisters, if someone claims to have faith but does not have works? Surely that faith cannot save, can it? If a brother or sister is naked and lacks daily food, and one of you says to them, "Go in peace, keep warm, and eat your fill," and yet you do not supply their bodily needs, what is the good of that? So faith by itself, if it has no works, is dead.
Reading from Mark 7, 24 to 37. From there he set out and went away to the region of Tyre. He entered a house and did not want anyone to know he was there. Yet he could not escape notice, but a woman whose little daughter had an unclean spirit immediately heard about him. And she came and bowed down at his feet. Now the woman was a Gentile of Syrophoenician origin. She begged him to cast the demon out of her daughter. He said to her, "Let the children be fed first, for it is not fair to take the children's food and throw it to the dogs." But she answered him, "Sir, even the dogs under the table eat the children's crumbs." Then he said to her, "For saying that, you may go. The demon has left your daughter." And when she went home, she found the child lying on the bed, and the demon gone. Then he returned from the region of Tyre and went by way of Sidon toward the Sea of Galilee in the region of Decapolis. They brought to him a deaf man who had an impediment in his speech, and they begged him to lay his hand on him. He took him aside in private, away from the crowd, and put his fingers into his ears, and he spat and touched his tongue. Then looking up to heaven, he sighed and said to him, "Ephphatha," that is, "be opened." And his ears were sharpened, his tongue was released, and he spoke plainly. Then Jesus ordered them to tell no one, but the more he ordered them, the more zealously they proclaimed it. They were astonished beyond measure, saying, "He has done everything well. He even makes the deaf to hear and the mute to speak."
Thank you. Good morning, and thank you to the choir for the great selection as we listen to the words of how we might become better Christians, being open to God and letting Him work through us. Let us pray. Holy Spirit, descend upon me now and take my words, and O God, be in the midst of this congregation and into each heart, that they may be opened and that together we may hear your word for our living today. Amen. Hal Forward once told a very priceless error that happened in the printed program for a performance of Handel's Messiah. A line that was supposed to read, "The Lord God omnipotent reigneth." Instead, it read, "The Lord God omnipotent resigneth." Apparently, it was a mistake, though it might have been the work of a cynical printer who was convinced that God had given up in this world. Such is not the situation. Just look at today's gospel lesson. Here is the situation. Jesus is operating just beyond the borders of his own land. On one of those very infrequent occasions when he wanders outside the limits of Israel, no sooner had he gotten over the border into the land, not populated principally by Jews, those people who do not observe the laws of Judaism, when he's confronted by an unhappy parent. Unhappy is really too soft a word for this woman's condition. She's desperate. This mother's daughter is grievously ill with a demon. We don't know what it is, but it is serious. And the woman comes to Jesus. And the way she addresses him is very interesting because it's very formal. Hardly ever in the New Testament account do we find such formality used. She says, "Have mercy on me, Lord, Son of David." Remember, she's an outsider. And she knows it. She needs help in the worst kind of way. So she comes to Jesus. And what does Jesus do? He fails to answer her. Not a word. Not only does Jesus not answer her, but when she pesters the disciples to needle in for an answer, Jesus finally comes back with an answer that perhaps we consider worse than the silence. He says, "I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." In other words, sorry, you don't fit into my plans. You're not a member of the right club. I am way out here, beyond the borders. You're not an Israelite. You're an outsider. You are a non-believer. But this mother is not easily put off. And finally, Jesus speaks to her. And he says, and these are strange words, "It is not fair to take the children's food and throw it to the dogs." That would probably be taken as an insult anywhere. But in that part of the world, at that particular time, that was really rough language. You see, dog, in that part of the world at that time, is not the statement about our cute, cuddly house pets. Dog means those disgusting scavengers that live in the street, living off garbage. Nevertheless, Jesus says, it is not fair to take the children's food and throw it to the dogs. The woman comes right back at Jesus. She's resilient. She's pushy. And she is determined to get a hearing. And she says, in our houses, even little puppies that scramble around on the beaten floor, even they have the crumbs from the family table. Now Jesus marvels at those around him. And he says, I have not seen such faith, not even in Israel. Faith. The problem with this woman is that she is not of the faith. That is, she is an outsider. She knows nothing of the beliefs and traditions of Israel. Yet Jesus says that she is a paragon of virtue. How does she move? How does this woman move from no faith, outside faith, to be recognized by Jesus as full of faith? We say so casually, I follow the Christian faith, or I have faith in Jesus. And by that, we usually mean something that we adhere to the Christian faith, that we model our lives on Christ-like precepts. But this woman, she has none of that. She has simply been so desperate. She's at the end of her rope, utterly without any hope, unless Jesus reaches out to her. And we have the feeling that in that moment, when she presses in upon Jesus and he moves toward her, this is the center of faith. We church type people don't think of faith in that way. So often we say things like, in order to have faith, you must do and believe A, B, and C. We have all kinds of hurdles and requirements. We are the guardians of the faith. Or at least, at times, we like to think so. The woman in today's gospel makes a leap of faith, leaping out of her desperation into the embrace of Jesus. Her daughter is saved. Anything less than her leap, her desperately hopeful, faithful leap, is less than the fullness of faith. And someday, maybe today, maybe this Sunday, there are people who are in church or watching online who need Jesus, who need Jesus to give them a miracle in the worst sense of the way. They may not have all of our answers, but today's gospel suggests that they are close to the heart of Jesus. Their presence is a reminder of the seriousness, the resourcefulness, the riskiness of the words of Jesus. God hasn't given up. He hasn't resigned. And he's not going to resign. The first reading of this Sunday gives us hope and promise for renewal of God's creation and the salvation of God's people. And having witnessed the healing of the man who was deaf and had an impediment, the crowd was astonished beyond measure, saying he has done everything well. And you know, he has, and he still does. He gave the man attention, personal, private attention. And he gives us personal attention. Not everyone does that. because Jesus entered our world to share our sorrows and our joys. He is prepared to give us personal attention. And since Jesus has not been spared from the sufferings and the trials that we so often experience, because he has encountered sin and temptation and even death, he understands. He understands our needs and gives personal attention to our problems and our prayers. He does everything well. Even in the most trying circumstances, God can enable us to hear the divine voice. He also helps us to hear the cries of others. In a gathering, in a living room, the conversation is lively and the laughter is loud. But suddenly, a mother leaves the room because she has heard what no one else in that room has heard. She has heard the cries of her baby in a room upstairs. The book of James is so full of instructions on how we may or must respond to the call of others. And that brings me back to Trinity. So many of you here have heard the cries of others, and you have responded with love and caring, following the example of Jesus. At one of our pastoral care meetings, we did some brainstorming on how people here at Trinity have responded to the call of others. And I know if I share with you, I will leave some out. But I'm going to anyway. And one of the most obvious are those boxes that we find at each entrance to collect food for distribution as needed. And then you have the Feed My Sheep program, where people find not only food for their body, but food for their soul. There is a time and the talent so generously shared by many of you, whether it be in the ministry of music, in one of our teams, United Church Women, our youth, whether it be on a Sunday morning or throughout the week. And the people who look after this facility, those who volunteer in our screens and our sound system, and we really missed our screens and we appreciate those even more these days. There are those who welcome you into the sanctuary every Sunday morning, and they welcome you with a smile and a warm welcome. And there are those who keep this place so clean, so well. And there are those who work in our kitchens. Then there's the quiet ways of service, the phone calls, the visits, helping with groceries, giving someone a drive, supporting one another in times of loss, and praying for one another. Never underestimate the power of prayer. And of course, there are the financial ways. When you share with the church your financial resources, and we must remember our benevolent fund, giving our minister the opportunity to reach out to people in crisis. And we cannot forget our missions, because it is only as a congregation reaches out beyond itself that it is truly a family of Christ. And just to reinforce that, in one of my recent visitors, a lady had told me that she did not know what she would do without Trinity and the personal support she has received. I know that I've forgotten some, and some that I know that I'll remember as soon as I finish here or get home today. But this is from a relatively newcomer to this church and this congregation. And the last verse that our choir sang a short while ago, "In Lord, speak to me. Oh, fill me with your fullness, Lord, until my very heart overflows in kindling thought and glowing words, your love to tell, your praise to show." Our gospel today means that what Jesus did for the woman and her daughter, for the deaf man, he can do for you and me. And what he expects from us is that we love him, that we love one another. And that love must lead us to continue the actions that have so well begun here at Trinity and beyond. Amen.
Let us pray. Bless these our offerings, our talents, and our time. Multiply them as you did the loaves and fishes,
so as your will be done on earth as in heaven. Amen. Please join me in prayer. Breath of God, fill us with life anew, that we may love as you would love and do what you would do. You smile upon us and we feel noticed. You listen to us and we feel heard. You speak your wisdom and we feel guided. You comfort us, and we feel your touch. You love us, so we may radiate your love to each other and to a hurting world. You are as present as the air we breathe, ever near when we seek you. You challenge us, and we grow. We thank you. We come into your presence grateful for time spent with you. Still our minds. Quiet our thoughts. Align them with yours. Open us to your guidance and wisdom. Be with us as we enter soon a new season, bringing to a close our summer activities. Feasts of fresh vegetables and fruits from your lands, fish from the sea, all that you have provided. Be with our students as they embark on new experiences, as they meet new and old friends, expanding their minds. Help us to remain ever curious, open to new ideas, new experiences, and new friends. Guide us in our ministries of goodwill in thy name. Strengthen our resolve to help the less fortunate and the marginalized. Comfort the grieving with your steadfast love and hope for brighter moments. May we be quick to share food and drink with those who are hungry and thirsty, as you have taught us to do. Grow our trust and our faith in your ever-present care for us. Help us to be partners in your care for your creation, the air we breathe, the water we drink, the oceans, farmlands, woodlands, and all creatures therein. We ask that you bless Reverend Rachel as she resumes pastoral duties. May she feel refreshed, knowing that she is supported in her ministry by her community of faith. We remain ever grateful for your faithfulness. Amen.
Now our worship has ended, and I invite you to go out into the world to continue your good work as servants and followers of Jesus Christ. And now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit rest and abide with you always. Amen.